And good morning, and away we go on this Wednesday, October the 16th, 2019, 12 minutes after the hour, coming up on 13 minutes after the hour. Scott Spears along with you here on the early show, and let me tell you about my morning so far. Now, as many of you know, this is my second morning returning back to this shift here on WWGH Radio, and it's fun to be back on in the mornings, and yesterday we had great response on the telephone, and that's always a great thing. Now, this morning was kind of interesting. I woke up, as many of you did, and it was just so dark outside. Now, I'm thinking maybe this has something to do with the upcoming time change, and it's just dark in the morning, and of course we all learned that it was dark and overcast and gloomy because of the rain that's outside. So my morning started out that way, which is okay because it's fall and that's the way it goes in October in Ohio. But here was the real pressure point. I was getting ready and just about to jump in the shower to get ready to come here, and my telephone rings. Now, for the telephone to ring before 8 o'clock in the morning, that's pretty unusual. So I look at the caller ID, and it says that the number is unavailable. So I thought, well, this could be just a few people that I know who have unavailable numbers. So I took the phone call and got in a conversation with the person. It was no emergency or anything like that. It was just, you know, I've been trying to reach you and wanted to talk to you. So we're having this phone conversation, and at one point I look over at the clock, and for some reason I thought that it was earlier than it was. So I look over at the clock and I see that it is now about 20 till 8. And I have not taken a shower yet. Obviously, I'm not here at the radio station yet. So at that particular point, I thought, I've got to get moving. So I ended the conversation with the person on the other end very quickly, jumped in the shower, and left my house this morning at about 5 to 8. Now, this show came on this morning at about 12 after 8. And of course, I'm thinking, well, I can still make it there. I can still make it there. And obviously I did. But let me tell you the trajectory of how close I was this morning to missing the start of this program. I'm driving down Mount Vernon Avenue. I'm driving down Center Street here in Marion. And as I'm driving down Center Street, I hear the obituary report in. Now, I'm still in the car on the road on Center Street, not in the parking lot here, not in the building, not in the elevator, not in the studio, not even close at this point. Now, after the obituary report, I know that I only have one spot for the Columbus Zoo, the news report, which was not a very long news report today, and the weather report to get on the air. So I get in the elevator with two ladies this morning, and everybody was stopping on a different floor, which was okay because I was the first stop off. So I got off, coming down the hallway, and as I walked in the studio door this morning, I could hear the weather report playing on the radio, which I know is a bad thing because right after the weather report comes the theme song. And the weather report that's coming out of the radio is on a 30-second delay. So what's actually playing here in the studio is 30 seconds behind what is actually coming over the radio, which is what I heard when I walked in the studio. So I actually sat down here just about 20 seconds ago. So do I sound pretty calm for somebody who just about missed the start of this show by 20 seconds? I think I'm doing okay this morning. Does anybody have any of these horror tales where you, and I didn't oversleep or anything this morning, I just got that phone call which kind of sidetracked me this morning and knocked about 25-30 minutes out of my typical morning routine, and I lost all track of time. Has anybody ever done this and maybe ended up late to work, maybe ended up taking the kids late to school, or anything of that nature? We're now at 17 minutes past the hour, so I feel pretty good about things now. but give me a ring, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Have you ever had one of those times where you were running behind because of any particular reason? This brings up a lot of different stories in my life. And I did oversleep one morning. It's only happened once since my radio career began many years ago. And I've never really understood this, but most talk radio stations are set up to where when the show starts, the person has to be there or it just goes to dead air. Now, this station is not set up that way. Had I not shown up this morning, a repeat would have just kicked in, because I always thought that was a bad idea just to go to dead air if the person happened not to be sitting there. But I did work at a radio station one time where that's exactly what happened. If you were not sitting in the chair when the music stopped playing, you went to dead air. And I was working Saturday mornings at the time. And the Saturday morning shift was 5 a.m. until 10 a.m. And the morning show started at 6 a.m., about 10 after 6. And what you were supposed to do was come in the morning and record the news and record the obituaries and then get ready for your show from 5 to 6. So I'm running in. One morning I was... It was like an early summer morning, spring morning. I think it was early June. And I had never been late for this, but I had always had a paranoia about being late for this morning show because I knew it went to dead air. And on Saturday morning, the other caveat about this was that there was nobody else in the building. So you could not even call and tell somebody that you were going to be late because there was nobody else there at 5 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning. I don't think anybody else came in until about 9:30 or 10 o'clock. Had I ever gotten sick, I don't know what I would have done. But I'm laying in bed, and I'll never forget this. I was laying in bed, and I remember waking up and seeing sunshine. Now, we all know in Ohio that no matter the time of year, there is not sunshine at 4:30 in the morning, which is about the time I had to get up to be at the station at 5 o'clock. So I wake up and I see sunshine coming through the window. And I think, oh no. And I look over at the clock, which I apparently had not set, or there was some malfunction, and it was like 5:45, just about 6 o'clock. Now remember, at 10 after 6, I go to dead air. Now the other thing about this, which was awful, was that I had had some guests scheduled that morning. Now, this is funny because I can still remember who the guests were. And this is why I remember that it was in the spring of the year. Because I had the valedictorian and the salutatorian on from Harding. So it was probably early June of whatever year this was. And I had them coming in at 6:30. So I jump up, obviously can't take a shower, couldn't even really... just enough to get out of my pajamas is about what I could do to get into just some jeans or something. Running out of the house, driving. And, of course, it's awful because you turn the station on to see where, you know, you are in the rotation and you're hearing your theme music get ever closer, ever closer, ever closer. And you've just woken up, so you're really, you know, thinking, oh, my goodness, what's going to happen? So I remember rolling up to the station, running in the back door, and oddly enough, waking up at 5:45, I made it behind the microphone at 6:10. But this was not without problem because obviously not getting there at 5. I had not recorded the news. I had not recorded the obituaries. So I think what I did was I played an interview from 6 to 6:30 so I could go back and record the news and obituaries for people that day, so they would have updated news and obituaries. Now, the postscript to this, and the funny part, in my opinion, is when the salutatorian and the valedictorian came in at 6:30, of course, I had to let them in the building. And in radio, nobody sees you except the people who are in the studio. So when I let them in, of course, I had not combed my hair that morning. I had not taken a shower. I had not brushed my teeth. I had not, you know, the clothes I was wearing were just the quickest thing I grabbed as I was going out the door. So, you know, I looked like a real hobo at that particular time. And I remember thinking, these kids probably think this is how all radio people are, because there was nobody else in the building. And that memory always sticks with me till this day, because the terror that ran through my mind when I woke up and saw that sunlight on that Saturday morning and saw that it was 5:45 and I was already 45 minutes late, and if I was not there in 25 minutes, it was going to go to dead air, was awful. That was awful panic. So has anybody had a situation like this in their own job? Does anybody take laughter in hearing my story this morning? Which is, it's just an interesting topic. Yesterday, like hamburger was. Give me a call. 740-383-9944. Now, all the years I was in college, because I know there are horror stories about people who overslept and missed classes and missed exams and all that, and I never really had that problem because most of my classes in college started at 8 o'clock or after. So I never really felt like I was in danger there. But I will tell you, one time I was taking a course in statistics, and the course was kind of difficult because the teacher, it was her first year teaching, and everybody in the class was having difficulty taking this statistics class. And this was the final. Not just a regular test, it was actually the final. The last time I would ever see these people in class, the last time I would ever, be in the room with her, the statistics teacher. So the night before, I had stayed up late cramming for this test because it was going to be a more difficult test, and of course you wanted to pass the class. And I'll never forget, I woke up just as the test was starting. I think the test started at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I woke up at 8 o'clock. And, you only get so much time to take a test. It was like 8 to 9:30 was the time allotted for the final exam. And I remember running over there and getting to class about 8:30. And walking in, and you know, you feel so bad when you walk in during an exam, because obviously everybody is taking the exam and already 30 minutes into it. And then you're also worrying, do I have time to finish this in just an hour now? And picking up my exam and taking it. But the postscript on that as well, it turned out okay. I took the exam. I passed the exam. I got it done in the hour. Matter of fact, I was not the last person out of the room, so there were even other people who had started before me who were still in there taking the exam after I had. But those are my two horror stories when it comes to being late. And they were both centered around oversleeping. And, I think, as I said, I think those are the two horror stories, oversleeping for work and oversleeping for college, especially an exam, not just a regular class. A regular class you could probably get away with, but an exam, to oversleep for an exam, that's no fun. Now, does anybody have any story like that? Or any particular situation? Or why do you think that we do oversleep like that? Do you think our brain shuts off, or we're just mentally tired, or something else is at play there? I really don't know why that happens, why we forget to set the alarm. You know, we're so careful about studying for the exam. We're so careful about making sure we know where the exam's going to be, how much time we have, do we have the correct pencils that they want to be used on the exam, do we have the correct books, and yet we forget something silly like setting an alarm, which we do every night of our life, usually, in a situation like that. What do you think the theory is why that happens? And it always happens in a situation where you can't be late. You know, it never happens on the morning where you're just going to go out and get breakfast with somebody, where you could be late for that. Or just a regular old college class where you could be late for that. Or, you know, a regular day at the radio station where I was just going in to file a news report, you could be late for that. No, it happens on the morning where nobody else is going to be at the radio station, so you have to be there. Or it happens on the day when you're taking the final exam in the statistics class, which was a very important exam. So what do you think it is about the subconscious that causes these problems? Now, I cannot be the only person out there who has had these problems with oversleeping in the past. Give me a buzz here. I'd love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 29 minutes past the hour on this Wednesday morning, middle of the week. Now, don't forget, later on today, we've got the Charlie Evers Show coming on from 10:10 until 12 noon. And then we have A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble today from 12:10 to 1 p.m. And then, of course, we have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman, which will return today from 4:10 to 5 p.m. And then the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6:10 to 7 p.m. tonight. All kinds of great things coming up today on WWGH Radio, where the G stands for Great Radio. Aside from oversleeping, which has kind of become the topic this morning, does anybody else have any interesting stories? Did anybody do anything interesting last night? Does anybody have any plans to do anything interesting with the upcoming weekend? It's kind of interesting because this is the time of year where a lot of people go to pumpkin patches and build bonfires and really have a fun time. I've seen so many people posting on Facebook and posting in regular conversations about how fall is their favorite time of year. I hear that all the time. Is fall your favorite season? What is your favorite season? Does anybody have a favorite season of the year? We have all four of them here in Ohio. Winter, spring, summer, fall. I can't imagine winter would be anybody's favorite season. But who knows? Maybe some people like the winter. I'm okay with the winter until after Christmas. I'm okay with the darkness getting darker, you know, the shortest day of the year, the winter solstice on December 21st. I'm okay with that right up until Christmas. Now, well, really New Year's. Once New Year's is over and all the lights come down and the trees are gone, January to me is just a depressing month because it's cold, it's long, it's 31 days, it's dark outside, it's not a fun time for me. So that's probably my least favorite time of the year, January, February, and early March. Now, my favorite time of the year is probably early spring, maybe April or May. Although, the last couple years, we have not had good springs. It has seemed like we have went from very cold temperatures, like highs in the 40s, right up to highs in the 80s. And there are no in-between days. And it seems like spring just gets completely obliterated. Now, it doesn't seem as if fall has been obliterated, because we're in the middle of fall right now. It took a long time to get to the cooler temperatures, but we had very warm weather right up until last week. And now this week, it's cooling off a little bit. We're having some cool nights and even some cool evenings. So this is fall. This is what fall is supposed to feel like. But boy, oh boy, I'll tell you, I don't know what has happened to spring the last few years. Spring is a thing of the past, apparently, in Ohio. Now, here's another thing that's on my mind as we talk here this morning. And again, if you want to weigh in on anything, give me a call. 740-383-9944. Why do you think spring has gone away? Is there any thought process behind that? There are two other things I want to talk about as I think about fall here. And one of them is apple butter. Because I love apple butter. But I've said this many times, that one of the problems with apple butter is, even though they sell it in the grocery stores now, let me start by saying, I think I was kind of spoiled when I was young when it came to apple butter. Because my great-grandmother used to make and can apple butter. She made and canned a lot of stuff. She was from that era. But my favorite thing that she canned was apple butter. And every year, she would send, you know, a couple jars of apple butter home with me and my family. So this is where I gained my taste and kind of love for apple butter. Well, the way she made the apple butter was less rich than what you get in the stores now. And you can always tell the richness of apple butter by how dark it is. The browner the apple butter is, obviously the more brown sugar has been used, and it's just a little sweeter, and I think gives it a completely different taste. Now, the apple butter that she used to make was almost the color of it was very close to applesaucy color. It was that light of a brown. You know, a little darker than applesauce, but about that color. And it was just delicious applesauce. And I do buy the applesauce in the apple butter. I do buy the apple butter in the store from time to time, but it's not quite the same because it does have that little richer taste. Because what I like to do with apple butter, and it's the only time I ever really eat these, English muffins. I'll take an English muffin and I'll toast it. And then I'll take it out of the toaster and I'll put some butter on it. And then I'll put some apple butter on top of the butter. And that is a delicious snack, a great thing for the morning. As a matter of fact, it's a great thing for the evening. But I cannot find an apple butter that matches up with the way great-grandma used to make. So does anybody know, because I don't think it's in the department stores in Marion, does anybody know where you can buy the lighter-colored apple butter? Or does anybody have a recipe for apple butter? I don't think we've ever done this, because Charlie Evers and I have had a discussion about this for years, because I believe apple butter was cooked in a pressure cooker. Now, maybe I'm wrong. I'll concede that maybe I'm a little wrong on this. But I always believe that apple butter was cooked in a pressure cooker. Or maybe that's just the way that I saw apple butter being made by the people who made apple butter. But where can I get an apple butter that is less rich than the kind that you buy in the store? I don't want the dark-colored apple butter. I want the lighter-colored, kind of like the color of brown construction paper. Does anybody know a good place to get apple butter? If I'm going to get apple butter, where should I go? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Where would I get a good apple butter? Or do you have kind of an easy, uncomplicated apple butter recipe that I could make. Because I think if I could make it on my own, I could add less brown sugar, which would cause the apple butter to be like it the way I like it, because it would be less sweet. So does anybody have any thoughts on either of those things? A good apple butter recipe or a place you can buy apple butter where it's less rich? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a ring and we can discuss it. I'm sure there are a lot of culinary experts out there who have apple butter recipes or know where to buy this stuff. This is what I have found. Most people, if you talk about any kind of food and say, you know, I buy this type of food here, but it's not really how I like it, immediately they will tell you where to buy it, where you can get it, how you like it. So that's kind of the idea here this morning. Where can I find that particular type of apple butter that I like? The less sweet, more light brown type of apple butter. Or does anybody have an apple butter recipe that would be simple to make that I could do where I could actually set the apple butter to be less sweet than what some of the apple butters are in the store? And nothing wrong if you like your apple butter to be sweeter and darker. That's fine. Just in my particular case, I think because I grew up eating the apple butter that was not that way, I miss that particular type of apple butter. And I especially miss it during the fall because that's a good apple butter type of season. And, you know, now that I'm thinking about this, the curiosity to me is kind of interesting because, as I say, I like to eat it on English muffins. And a lot of people confuse English muffins for bagels. I don't know why, but for some reason, sometimes I've ordered apple butter and an English muffin, and they'll bring me a bagel. Now, I don't know why some people think that English muffins are bagels. Now, to me, well, you know, what is English about an English muffin? Because obviously we have muffins in this country. You go to any store now and you can buy muffins. Blueberry muffins, apple cinnamon muffins, any kind of muffin you would like. But an English muffin is not like a muffin in America at all. So I kind of wonder, in England, what do they call the muffins that we have? And is an English muffin considered a muffin? If you ordered a muffin in England, is that what you would get? I don't know how that all works. I think it's all kind of interesting in the long-term effects of things. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
Yeah, speaking of apple butter, I'm a big apple butter myself. I love apple butter. And my great-grandma used to make it in a big outside, I remember this, in a big kettle, like a big black kettle on a fire. And then, yeah, that's how they used to make it. You know, the pressure cooker's been out, what, since 1600s or whatever, but probably or whatever, but... I like my apple butter made in a kettle.
Well, it seems to me like the apple butter that you buy in the stores for some reason is a little sweeter than what homemade apple butter was.
Well, you know, you're right. It is. It really is. My great-grandma was, I'm not sure, I think hers was a little lighter as well than the ones that are in the store. Like your great-grandma was, but you mentioned. But, the apple butter that I tried recently at work, before I started on this, I'm on this new diet, we can't have that stuff anymore, but the girl brought it in from it. It's Amish, made by the Amish, and I'm telling you, it was delicious. It wasn't all that sweet, but it was a nice, good texture, and it was really good.
Well, I still think that I don't know. I think that apple butter is made in a pressure cooker because now Charlie tells me I'm wrong about this, that apple butter is not made in a pressure cooker.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That I don't know. I mean, I know pressure cooker. Like I said, I think he's been up for a lot of years. I don't know when the pressure cooker came out, but I thought they'd been up for ever since I know, and ever since my dad was little, and I'm sure your grandma, my grandma was little, and but I don't know. I don't know how you would make apple butter in a pressure cooker. I don't know how you would do that.
I don't know if it had something to do with once you got the apples chopped up, that you put them in the pressure cooker and that, like meat, you know, detenderized the apple. It made the apple softer to where you could stir it up and do what you needed to do with it.
I imagine you probably could get it in a pressure cooker. I mean, it's a lot faster. I'm sure back in the day, I think back in the day, they used to have apple butter at parties. And I got my people's backyards, and we used to come over and, like I said, I just remember when I was real little, when my great-grandma was alive, which was my stepmom's side, because my great-grandma, I don't know who she was, but my stepmom's side that raised me, her grandma would be her great-grandma, I guess, would be my great-great-grandma. We were in Galleon, and I years ago when I was little, they used to cook it in a big black kettle on the fire. And she used to can it, and, you know, she used to put it in the jars, like making jars, like they sell now. It was really good, actually. It was really good.
Well, like I say, my thing with apple butter is I was never much for apple butter sandwiches or anything like that, but I love to eat it on an English muffin with a little bit of butter, or I did like eating it on a biscuit. It tastes very good on a biscuit, kind of like as a substitute for jelly.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's really good. It's peanut butter and apple butter. Oh, my goodness. That is delicious. I don't know if you ever tried that before. You put peanut butter down first, and you put apple butter over top of it.
You know,
that is to die for.
Well, that's interesting because I think we've talked about this before. I am not a huge peanut butter person. Now, it's not that I hate peanut butter, but I am just not as into it as I think some people are. I mean, I see people who always have peanut butter stocked in their home. They've got to have peanut butter. They eat peanut butter sandwiches all the time and substitute for other things. And I've never been that big of a fan of peanut butter.
Well, before I started this diet, because now, like I said, I'm on this new diet thing that I'm trying. Day number three, by the way. I guess I should call in on your show. Hey, Scott, this is day number three on my diet. Anyway, I used to eat peanut butter with a spoon. Jeff, but I'm really picky on my peanut butter. It has to be Jeff. If not Jeff, forget about it.
Now, do you think you could tell the difference, though, if people blindfolded you and fed you the peanut butter?
Absolutely. I tried them all. Yes, you can. There is very, very, you could, on peanut butter, the Jif has a, you can tell the difference between Jif, or say Jif, or Skippy, or Greasy peanut butter, or off-brand. Oh, yeah, it's the oil. It's the peanuts. Well, I don't know whether Jif gets their peanuts. It's all in the peanuts, like the oils and stuff. That's how you can tell. It's a special way, because peanut butter, you can really tell the difference when you're tasting different kind of peanut butter. I'm a peanut butter expert. Yeah, you can sit down and I can tell you. I can't tell you the name of the brand, but I know this ain't Jif.
Now, what was that thing you used to eat a long time ago that you said was a common occurrence, and I said that is the most odd thing that anybody would ever eat? I think it had to do with peanut butter.
Yes, peanut butter and syrup.
Oh, yeah, here we go. See, this is ridiculous.
No, I mean, I know somebody else that loves it, too. I mean, it's really good.
No, I'm not saying people don't do it, because people come up with any kind of concoction. You know, people for years have done ketchup in their macaroni and cheese. I'm just...
Oh, yeah, that was delicious, too.
So, see, I'm not for that. But I just don't think that this is a common occurrence.
Now you're depressing me. I can't have any of that stuff anymore.
No. In the morning. But when it came to the syrup and the peanut butter, what did you do? You just took a scoop of peanut butter and doused it in syrup?
Yeah, what you do is you take a big, not a teaspoon, you take a tablespoon, like, you know, a tablespoon, like a big tablespoon, and you douse it in the jar, and then you take the syrup and you spray over top of it. Or what you can do is you can take a whole bunch, maybe like two or three scoops and put it in a bowl, and then spray syrup all, you know, in the bowl everywhere, and then eat it.
See, but I don't know that that's necessarily a good thing. Now, why do...
No, it's not healthy, let me tell you that. But, and if you're a diabetic like me, it's definitely not healthy. I can tell you that much.
Now, how did you come across this?
I don't know. I know somebody else that does it too, that likes it. I don't know. I tell you how I did it. Because I used to do that on my... Because I used to put peanut butter on my pancakes instead of butter sometimes. I know. And then, because of course you have syrup on there anyway. It tastes pretty good. I thought, well, why not without peanut cakes or I used to do that with French toast as well. Instead of having that, just without having those other ingredients, just take peanut butter and syrup. Just as good.
I don't know. I think
that's what caused my diabetes. I don't know.
Well, I think to each their own, but to me, that's just my contention with that particular concoction is it's just not a normal thing. I don't think that most people at home are eating peanut butter and syrup just together mixed in a bowl. That's...
I don't know. I mean, that'd be a good survey. I don't know who all would, but like I said, I usually half the time I used to have like a pancake or French toast or something with it as well sometimes. But a lot of times if I didn't have the other ingredient, I would just do that. I would just if I had a sweet tooth that day or something or whatever, and I would just do it.
Now, what was that concoction? Because I thought the concoction last night you were having for dinner was a little odd.
Last night?
Yeah, with the pickle.
Oh, I'm on this keto day. So right now, this is like a day number three for me, and I can't have any pastas or breads or stuff like that, right? So similar to the Atkins diet, thankfully it's the Atkins diet in a way, but on the keto, you get a little bit of a carb. I think I try to stay at like 22 carbs a day. I'm going to lower each day, but I'm going to try to, or each week or whatever. What you do is you take a hamburger, and then you throw pickles on it, and you throw mayonnaise on top of it and eat it.
I don't know. That's an interesting one, too. I've never seen that in Betty Crocker's recipe book.
It's just like having a hamburger with bread when you just want the bread with it.
No, I mean, I'm all for whatever works for people, but I just don't think you'll open up like a Blue Ribbon cookbook or Betty Crocker, and you're going to see, okay, for dinner, you just get hamburger and pickles and mayonnaise and mix it all together, and then for dessert, just take some peanut butter and syrup.
Well, no, I can't have that peanut butter dessert anymore. That's not in my dessert category anymore. But I guess I should write my own recipe book right on your airway for you.
I don't know if that would sell.
It'll be called the Sean Carb Diet.
I would say more, because if you have to put this syrup and peanut butter thing in there, it should be the Sean Clog Your Arteries Diet.
No, that's the old I'm not going to have that anymore because that's not part of the new diet thing. No, that's the diabetes, the way you get diabetes diet.
Okay, that's a tip to how you get diabetes. You have the syrup and the peanut butter. Well, I tell you what, we have about 8 minutes. I'm going to open up the phone lines to see if anybody has ever eaten either of the two things that you just brought up, or if anybody else has a weird concoction that they eat. Maybe they eat something a little bit out of the ordinary.
Well, you have to let me know because I'm out of the listening area now. And also, I got something. I want you to check in on the other problem that I sent you last night, if you can.
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting problem.
Yeah. No, that was kind of strange, so. All right.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. All right, folks, it's 53 minutes past the hour, and that was an interesting conversation. Does anybody have a weird thing? I don't want to say weird, because it's not really weird, but does anybody have a different thing that they eat other than stuff that's in the norm? Has anybody ever tried this thing that Sean just talked about, where you just take a dollop of peanut butter and you put syrup, apparently, on it? Or the pickle hamburger mayonnaise surprise, I guess we would call it. Go ahead, caller.
The hamburger and the pickle thing sounds normal to me because I'm on keto.
Oh, you're on keto too?
Yes.
Now, isn't keto a Vietnamese diet?
Well, I don't know about that, but it's for anybody that's ever been on the Atkins diet, that would, you know, it would bring memories, or you would have understand what.
Well, that's what. What is the difference between Atkins and keto?
Probably the amount of carbs, I guess, because many, many, many years ago, I went on the Atkins diet, and my husband lost a lot of weight, and I just didn't lose much at all. And come to find out, I had read after the fact then that if you have thyroid disease, that you're not going to do well on it, which I did at that time. Now my thyroid's under control, my disease. So I thought, well, my son talked me into it because he follows keto, and so is his wife. So, but it's been a miracle to me because not only has it changed my whole way of eating, obviously, but it changes my, outlook or the feel I have every day of I'm more calm, I'm sharper, you know, things like that. Because it just has that kind of effect on your diet.
Now, when you have a sweet tooth on the keto diet, what do you substitute?
Generally, what I do is I use almond milk.
Oh, okay.
And so I will go and get myself a glass of the kind that has vanilla in it, and that really, I'll just have a nice glass of almond juice, which is good for almond milk, which is good for me, and that takes care of it. But you don't really seem to have as much. When you're eating the way you do with keto, you just don't seem to have those cravings. At least I don't, like I used to, and I've been on just a tad over 3 months and have lost 19 pounds, and so, you know, I feel better, just in general.
Well, that's a lot of weight. That's great. Congratulations.
Thank
now,
you.
Now, what, I mean, typically, what would you eat in a given week on the keto diet?
In a week? Oh, my goodness. God.
What are some of those delicious dishes that you'll be cooking up?
Fried egg. This morning I started out, I fried myself a couple eggs in coconut oil. You know, which is very good, you know.
Yeah, I like coconut oil.
Yeah, and I may, you know, start my morning, I would have my coffee, and then I've switched to heavy whipping cream for my coffee. Now that's all. I use my coffee. I even take it with me when I go places. And then for lunch, maybe I'll have a salad and toss on some chicken strips or something like that, you know, with a leafy lettuce and all that sort of stuff. And for supper last night, we had the ham steaks and served green beans with it, which is very good. Had some Jell-O and a little dab of cottage cheese,
Oh, I was the diabetic dish that I came up with, I think, would qualify on the keto diet.
You know, I'm almost thinking, although the Cool Whip part of it, I'd have to, because you'd have your diet jelly, you just have to put it all together and then count up how many. You'd have to do your own figuring, Scott, because you put in your quantities, and then you have to divide it up, you know, to figure it out.
Well, I'm pretty sure, because I remember looking into this about the diabetic diet. I believe the Cool Whip has very little carbohydrate in it.
Yeah, I don't think it does either, you know. If I use it at all, it would probably be just a little teaspoon of it, and that gives me all I want, you know, because I just don't have the cravings like I used to, so, which is great.
Yeah. Now, have you ever heard of this peanut butter syrup concoction?
Scott, when you are home and you've got to have something like that, it's unbelievable what you'll put together.
I guess maybe I was just never creative in that way. Where I said,
I call it desperate.
Well, I don't. I guess maybe I never said, "Oh, I've got a spoonful of peanut butter here. Why don't I just dunk it in Mrs. Butterworth?" I never got to that point.
Oh, you're a strange sort.
No, isn't that the thought processes there that would happen?
When he was talking, I just giggled because I thought, yeah, been there, done that.
No, you know, I guess what it is with me is I'm not a sweets person for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't tell you the last time I had a candy bar. I'm not a gum chewer.
You like more salty things.
You know, honestly, that's a strange thing as well, because I don't salt things. As a matter of fact, I don't even have salt in my house, really, to be honest. I think I've been out of salt forever. So what I tend to go for, like the things that I eat, are usually, I love salads, but I love them in different concoctions. Mm-hmm. I love you know, like grilled chicken salad. I like just a salad with cheese and ranch dressing. Mm-hmm. I like those type of things. I do like a hamburger with a slice of cheese on it. I do like pizza burgers. Mm-hmm. With the mozzarella cheese and the pizza sauce on top of them. I like all that stuff, but I'm not really a potato chip person. I'm not really a French fry person. But again, I'm also not a candy bar or that type of person.
Well, on the keto diet, you become a pork rind person.
Pork rinds.
Oh, my God.
You know, what I've been thinking is what I don't do, and I do like them, and I know it would be good, and it's healthy. Well, it depends on which health magazine you read, but it's eggs, because I know that I do like omelets. I like ham and cheese omelets. I like plain omelets. I like those sort. I like scrambled eggs. I like all those things, but for me, for some reason, I never remember to get eggs, and when I do get them, they always expire because I never use them. And then I can't tell you about the deviled eggs.
I buy three dozen at a time.
I'll
tell you what I'm going to have tonight. When my gentleman friend brings in, he's going to bring in some peppers from his garden, but I'm going to have stuffed peppers, and I'm going to stuff those with taco. I buy frozen taco turkey. Okay. Taco turkey. And then I cook that up and just stuff my peppers with, and then I use a cauliflower. I grade up cauliflower so it looks like rice. That's what people do nowadays, and that is part of my stuffing. And the last time we had that, it was just very, very good.
It sounds very good. Uh-huh. I see these cauliflower crusted pizzas all
mm-hmm.
the time now.
That's another, yeah.
So it's a great thing. Wait, we're heading up on a break, but thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Best of luck.
Bye-bye.
Hey, we're coming up on a break here. We'll be back in about 10 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Happy birthday to Billy Goat Charlie, who today celebrates 108 years